Hello, friends. Welcome to worship today at St. Stephen's United Church online. We are delighted that you can join us. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Would you join me in today's call to worship? We have been called the salt of the earth. Let us remain distinctive and salty. We have been called the light of the world. Let us shine brightly in the midst of pain or confusion. We have been called a city set on a hill. Let us, like Jerusalem, lift our gates, lift our hearts, lift our voices in the worship of God. And we come to light the candle, the Christ candle, that helps us recall the sacrifice Jesus made for us. At this time, let's say our opening prayer together. Loving God, open our hearts that we may feel the breath and play of your Spirit. Unclench our hands that we may reach out to one another and touch and be healed. Open our lips that we may drink in the delight and wonder of life. Open our eyes, that we may see Christ in friend and stranger. Breathe your Spirit into us and touch our lives with the life of Christ. In his name we pray. Amen. We come to confession, that Christ may forgive us and help us to live freely and abundantly in his will. O God, you know what is right for us, but too often we only want our way or no way instead of your way. Have mercy upon us when we turn from you. Forgive us when we do not realize your love and direction for us. Have mercy upon us indeed, and teach us anew how to follow you. We pray this through your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Friends, on life's mountaintops and in life's valleys, God knows us better than we know ourselves. And God forgives us, even in the times when we can't quite forgive ourselves. By God's great mercy, we are forgiven. By God's great mercy, we are loved and being made whole. And by God's great mercy and love, and to God's delight, we are being equipped to carry God's love to others. Thanks be to God. And God's people say, Amen.
Good morning. Our reading is taken from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 9, verses 35 to chapter 10, verse 8. And I'm reading from the Good News Bible. Jesus has pity for the people. Jesus went round visiting all the towns and villages. He taught in the synagogues, preached the good news about the kingdom, and healed people with every kind of disease and sickness. As he saw the crowds, his heart was filled with pity for them, because they were worried and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. So he said to his disciples, "The harvest is large, but there are few workers to gather it in. Pray to the owner of the harvest that he will send out workers to gather in his harvest." The 12 Apostles. Jesus called his 12 disciples together and gave them authority to drive out evil spirits and to heal every disease and every sickness. These are the names of the 12 apostles. First, Simon, called Peter, and his brother Andrew. James and his brother John, the sons of Zebedee. Philip and Bartholomew. Thomas and Matthew, the tax collector. James, son of Alphaeus, and Thaddeus. Simon the patriot, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed Jesus. The mission of the 12. These 12 men were sent out by Jesus with the following instructions. Do not go to any Gentile territory or any Samaritan towns. Instead, you are to go to the lost sheep of the people of Israel. Go and preach. The kingdom of heaven is near. Heal the sick. Bring the dead back to life. Heal those who suffer from dreaded skin diseases and drive out demons. You have received without paying, so give without being paid. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
In the weeks since we celebrated Pentecost, we have returned and been back in Matthew's gospel each of these weeks. We have heard Jesus' great commission for us who are to be disciples, who, with the leading of God's Spirit, welcome and disciple others, helping them to discover and learn about this life that we have found in Christ. We've also heard Jesus' admonition that the life that he is bringing won't look like the life that was found in the old, more legalistic forms of religion. He said it'll be fresh and new, like fresh new wine carried in new vessels. It'll happen in forms that are better able to meet those who are seeking that new sense of life with God. And now today, we have heard about Jesus sending his 12 disciples out to do some pretty incredible things. Well, if you are feeling a little bit like Jesus asked us to change out of our Sunday best at the end of Pentecost and put our running shoes on, then you've been paying attention. Because this is an active Jesus in this season, a Jesus who is also calling us to action. Well, as we heard, today's reading spans the end of chapter 9 and the beginning of chapter 10. And it's an interesting combination putting those two together in one reading because it helps us to see something that we might not otherwise notice if we had just read them as two distinct chapters, one at a time. This reading starts with this general statement that Jesus was traveling around teaching and healing people, and that he was drawing crowds as he went. And we're told that Jesus looked at the crowds and he could see the deep need of all of those people. Matthew tells us that Jesus had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless. He says they were like sheep without a shepherd. So Jesus urged his disciples to pray and ask God to send out more workers to meet this great need. And that prayer is actually where chapter 9 ends. Chapter 10 begins by telling us that he called the 12 men who were among his first disciples and sent them out to the lost sheep of Israel. He sent them with his authority and with specific instructions. They were to proclaim the coming of God's kingdom. They were to heal the sick, people who were sick with all manner of things. And they were to freely share the very same grace that they had come to know Jesus sharing so freely with them. Well, here's what I found interesting this week. Because the lectionary put these two sections together and kind of forced us to read them together, the end of chapter 9 and the beginning of chapter 10, I found that something jumped out at me, something that I hadn't really noticed before this week. So Jesus tells his disciples to pray for God to send out more workers to meet that great need that he could see among the crowds. And then as soon as he's prayed that prayer, he grants those same disciples the authority to do that very work. He sends them out to do it. So he says, pray for God to send someone, and then he sends them. At first, it can kind of sound like maybe Jesus is being a little bit cheeky or a little bit tricky here. And it might look like that on the surface, but I'm not sure that's what was going on. I actually think that there is an essential lesson in this, and that it is a lesson that those disciples likely learned as they lived it. So there are some pretty common questions people wonder about as we live out our faith. And one of those questions is why a God who knows all things and is all powerful, why that God actually wants us to pray. I mean, it's not like we're telling God things that he doesn't already know. So why here did Jesus want his disciples to pray and ask God to send workers when he almost certainly must have known that he was about to send them out to be those workers? Why did he have them do that? Why does God lead us to pray today? Well, I'm sure that there are probably lots of answers to those questions, most of which I'm actually not wise enough to know yet. But there is one answer that seems to me to be clearly illustrated in this passage. It seems that the disciples' prayers here might have been as much about shaping and changing their hearts as they were about asking God for anything. As we heard, Jesus himself, he really saw these people. He saw their deep need, and he was moved with compassion for them. I wonder if Jesus knew that in asking the disciples to stop and pray for those same people, they would get a chance to really be able to see their deep need too, to see it as Jesus was seeing it. Did he know that as his disciples prayed for those people that were coming to him, they too would be moved with that same sense of compassion that he was so moved by? I suspect he did know that. I think he might still know it. In fact, I'm sure of it. And perhaps that is in part why Jesus leads us to pray for others. Because in praying for them, God is able to share his heart and his love for them with us. We are moved with a new depth of God's compassion and love for the people that we are praying for. And in some cases, like this one, we might be moved to follow the Spirit's leading to love and care for them in some way ourselves. It seems that having his disciples pray for God to send people to minister to those crowds may very well have been a critical step in preparing them to do that work, but to do it in a way that reflected God's compassion and God's love for them. And you know, I truly believe that preparing their hearts like that, it was as vital a step as granting them the authority that he did and giving them their instructions about who to go to and what to do for them. Friends, if you remember nothing else from this message today, I pray that you might remember this, that how we are as we go to do any work in Jesus' name is as important as what we actually do. It doesn't matter how right what we are doing might seem to us. If we're not doing it in ways that actually reflect the heart and the love and the compassion of Christ, then our work will likely flounder. Because ultimately all of the work Jesus sends his disciples to do, his disciples then and his disciples now, all of our work is about carrying his love to this world. That's what God's people are and always have been called to do. Carry God's love. Now, you might be listening to this and thinking that this is all well and good, but doesn't really apply to you. After all, you may not have the sense that Jesus is sending you anywhere. You may even think that you're not likely to ever find yourself being called and sent by Jesus. Except that you are. You are being sent out. Every single week, every single day. Let me enlist the help of Eugene Peterson and his wonderful message translation of this reading to help make my point. In our NRSV Pew Bibles that we have here in the sanctuary, and in the Bibles many of you will have at home that are NRSV or NIV or ESV, verses 5 and 6 of chapter 10 recount Jesus' instructions to his disciples as he sent them. And those verses read like this: "Go nowhere among the Gentiles, and enter no town of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Now, in the Message translation, Jesus' instructions get a lot clearer. "Don't begin by traveling to some far-off place to convert unbelievers, and don't try to be dramatic by tackling some public enemy. Go to the lost, confused people right here in the neighborhood." Go to the lost, confused people right here in the neighborhood. My friends, if you listen closely each Sunday, and I think that most of you do, you will know that at the very end of each of our services, whoever is preaching says some words of blessing and some words of sending over you all. I and everyone who preaches here try to very carefully prepare those words each week, because we all truly believe that they are the words that God wants you to hear as you go. Every week, we are being sent back into our lives, back to the people that we will encounter in the course of each day, the people that we find right in our neighborhoods for most of us. Every week, God sends us all out again, to our family and our friends, to our neighbors. And because I believe to the core of my being that this is true, I think that this part of Jesus' story that we have been exploring together today gives us some pretty good modeling for how to go. As we pray for those that we go to, our friends and our families and neighbors, God actually prepares our hearts. God shares his love for them with us. And because he does that, we are in turn able to share that love with them. So praying before and as we go, it actually does a vital work preparing our hearts to carry God's love. So why is it so good to pray before we go to whoever God is sending us to? Well, simply because as we pray, God's love for them shapes our hearts and shapes the way that we love them ourselves. Amen.
Please pray the prayers of the people with me. Holy, loving God, Lord of all creation, time and space, we give you honor, praise and glory with one voice as we come together in the unity of the Holy Spirit to pray to you in this time of worship. On this Father's Day, we give you thanks for the fathers in our lives, dads, uncles, friends, related by blood or not, those who have been part of our lives, who have been trustworthy, welcoming, instructing, loving, forgiving, protecting, funny, big-hearted and true. Those who have shown your heart for your children, for you are Abba, Father, Dad, Daddy. You are imminent, personal, timeless, and ever-present. We love you beyond measure. We remember those who are suffering today through darkness of one kind or another, whether it's war, poverty, discrimination, abuse, addiction, loss, or mental health issues. Jesus, light of the world, shine upon each person. be their comfort. Bring hope, joy, and peace to troubled souls. We pray for those who are suffering from the effects of wildfires. We pray, Lord, that you will bring relief. Hear the cry of our hearts as we carry to you those we know are struggling in various ways. Great physician, we pray for healing of body, mind, and spirit for those we lift to you now. Lord of the harvest, you feed us, nurture and equip us to be your disciples, following in your way everlasting. Bring to each of our minds those to whom you would send us, and inspire us to reach out, even risking rejection. Fill us with your Holy Spirit to know the ways to reach your lost, lonely, hurting ones with your love. Teach us to show your mercy and compassion, to share your love and grace with the same loving kindness that you have given to us. God Most High, Jesus, Savior and King, Holy Spirit, Comforter and Friend, we give you all glory now. Blessed be your name forever, for you are everlasting to everlasting, and nothing is beyond you. You hem us in, before, behind, and beside us, safe. We are safe in your love, forever. And so, with one voice, we pray the prayer Jesus taught his friends, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Dear friends, thank you so much, all of you, for the ways that you contribute to the life and work of this congregation in our community and in the broader world. Let's pray together to dedicate all of the gifts that have been given in all of their forms this week to God's purposes, to God's mission of bringing love. Giving God, we give you thanks and praise for all of your gifts to us. You have given us so much, and it is because we recognize the gifts you have given us that we now give back to you. We dedicate this week's offering to the work of your kingdom here on earth. May these gifts be used wisely and diligently so that your love may be known widely. We ask this in the name of the one who freely gave himself for us. Amen.
Good morning, St. Stephen's United Church. Nice to see everybody this morning. I'm going to start this off with a little parable from the Lord Jesus. Luke 15, verses 1 to 7. By this time, a lot of men and women had doubtful reputation, were hanging around Jesus, listening intently. The Pharisees and religious scholars were not pleased, not at all pleased. They growled. He takes in sinners and eats meals with them, treated them like old friends. Their grumbling triggered this story. Suppose one of you had 100 sheep and lost one. Wouldn't you leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the lost one until you found it? When found, You could be sure you would put it across your shoulders, rejoicing. And when you got home, call on your friends and neighbors, saying, "Celebrate me. I found my lost sheep. Count on it." There's more joy in heaven over one sinner's rescued life than over 99 good people in no need of rescue. So today I'm here in the name of the Lord to share with you some news from our Community Meals Outreach program here at St. Stephen's. School's out this coming week. Then we slowed down with the Thursday lunch guests because of the summer. We are still sending out 60 plus bag lunches, and we'll see 20 to 30 of our community guests on site. Sandwiches and soups and salads and desserts are offered from 11:15 to about 1 o'clock. Our monthly third Tuesday supper from 5 to 6:30 are slowly picking up since COVID mandates are no longer in effect. Guests are welcomed with a hot supper and dessert. Coffee, juices are available, and it goes along great with the fellowship and our safe environment. Our team of volunteers pray for the community and congregation to help spread the word by inviting friends, neighbors, and family members to come and enjoy the atmosphere within the church, and everybody is welcome. I'd like to share a couple notes from a couple of our cooks from Community Meals. Claire Taylor writes to use, "The ministry of Community Meals continues to thrive and grow. We are assured that it is close to God's heart because He faithfully blesses and provides us in so many generous and surprising ways. The Thursday lunch will continue to be attended by regulars, high school students, until they're out for the year, and those passing through in need of a meal or a friendly face. However, our monthly dinners, although very much enjoyed, have experienced a decline in numbers. We believe there are many people in the area who would enjoy a home-cooked meal and some company. Singles, families, all are welcome. Dinners are held on the third Tuesday of each month. Mark it on your calendars. Bring a guest, spread the word. The meals are for everyone. There is no charge. We know many of you faithfully, financially, and prayerfully support this ministry. Without you, this couldn't happen. We invite you to come for lunch or dinner and see for yourselves how God's love is poured out in this tangible way." One of our other cooks, Carol Pierre, she writes, "Hope all was well with you guys today. I wanted to share with you what has just come into my heart this morning reading Acts 2 for Pentecost. We are like the disciples waiting for the Spirit to lead us all with the community meal. To be together in prayer with the congregation in this mission is so important. I think that this is so exciting, and I believe that this will grow all of us on our faith journey. I really appreciate you doing this encouragement for us. When I left our prayer time last Thursday, I felt so encouraged and at rest with this. I know that this is the right direction for the meal, allowing God to direct us in the way that we will see the fruits of this outreach. We all care so much. Allowing God to use us to feed His lambs, I believe, is how we serve. I hope that we can open our prayer circle to include others in this mission as we go forward together. What strength and unity that could bring." Thank you for those sentiments, Claire and Carol. With our community outreach, St. Stephen's United Church Thursday Boutique thrives and grows with each season. Seasonal clothing donated by the congregation and the community covers our tables in the old lounge, as well as personal health hygiene products are available for our guests. And with the outreach each week, we are blessed with outside services and societies dropping in to connect with our guests. These agencies are Forward House, Aid in Crisis Care Society, social workers from the Ministry of BC. And right now, we have Work BC setting up a pop-up display info center on the last Thursday of the week in our library. It's so encouraging to see the smiling faces. You get to know these people and you notice when they're not there, so you're wondering what's going on and everything like that. And it's good for us to have these connections with the service agencies out there so they can help us keep track of what's going on. We have a number of peoples that were displaced from the shelter in Parksville as it was at the end of contract. Those peoples, 26 in total, have been spread out from the Comox area down to Nanaimo and out to Coombs and Arrington. All have great places to stay at, and they are in contact with our agencies and gather all kinds of kudos for our works here at the St. Stephen's United Church. And with that, I'd like to say how proud I am to help lead this ministry. The services that the church provides is so gratifying for the soul and the spirit and the body of the church. With that, in God's name, amen.
Today for our announcement, I have a special invitation to you, our online part of our life together. If you will be in the local area of Parksville Qualicum on June 24th, which is next Saturday, we'd love it if you would come and join us here in the afternoon for our first annual St. Stephen's Chili Off. What we're going to do is we have 5 anonymous chefs who are creating 5 of their own personalized versions of chili, their own recipes. And we're going to get a chance to sample those, vote on our favorite, and enjoy them over a meal together. We're hoping to be outside in the parking lot if it's good weather, and we'll have a meal together, some fun together, and also be led in a sing-along by Bruce Feltham and Rick Berry. So if you are here local, we'd love for you to join us. It would be wonderful to see you and get to spend some time in person with you. So we'll hope you'll consider that. The details of the time and anything else you need to know are in the emailed announcements. If you don't get those, please just call the church office during the week and we'll be happy to share them with you. Friends, today we send you as Jesus sends all of us. Go to the people in your neighborhood. Go and share with them the love that is at the heart of the kingdom of God. Share it in word and in deed. Share it as the Spirit leads you. And most of all, share it with the same compassion and generosity and grace that Jesus has shown you. And as you go, may God bless you and keep you. May God's face shine upon you and be gracious to you. And may God look upon you with kindness and grant you peace. Amen.
Lost or safe, find their way at the sound of your great name. All condemned, feel no shame at the sound of your great name. Cheers.